Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Pei Ches. We're holding roughly 10 lines from the top of the Amud. You have in the parentheses, Rav Luzer, Rav Tzudik, Oy Mishnosis, Hoyu Behin, V'chuli, which is a quote from our Mishnah of yesterday. But the Gemara does not really address that Rav Luzer, Rav Tzudik, but rather addresses what we had yesterday in the Braisa. What did we have yesterday in the Braisa? If you'd all be so kind, we'll go down to Pei Zayin Amud Beis, right after the Mishnah. Tana Rabbanan, four lines from the bottom of Pei Zayin Amud Beis. Sheva Midos Shalachah Yubamikdash, there were seven liquid measures in the base of Mikdash. What were those seven? Revias Haloig, Chatzi Loig, Loig, Revias Sahin, Shlisha Sahin, Vechatzi Hin, Vehin. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. We start from the smallest, we go to the largest. A quarter of a loig, a half a loig, a full loig. A revia sehin means three loigin. Shlisha sehin means four loigin. Chatzi sehin means six loigin. Vein is 12 loigin. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. But a meir oimer, look and listen carefully. Hin, v'chatzi hin, v'shlisha sehin, or revia sehin, v'loig, v'chatzi loig, or revia sehin. Did you see any differences between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda? Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda said the exact same seven liquid measures. The only difference between the two is one is saying it in ascending order and the other is saying it in descending order. Rav Yehuda is starting from the smallest, the Revias Haloig, and he goes all the way up to a Hin, which is 12 Loigin. Rav Meir starts with a Hin, which is 12 Loigin, goes all the way down to the Revias Haloig, which is the smallest. But they each one say exactly the same seven Midas. And the obvious question is, Frank Dimara, my Ika Ben Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, there's no difference, they're saying exactly the same thing. The machlokes between them is, what about that portion of the liquid which extends over the rim at the top of the midrash? Meaning just like when we make Kiddush or Havdalah, very often, particularly Havdalah, you have that wine that is going above the rim of the kli itself. That's what's called birutzei midrash. So what's the nafkimina? Lamandia memata lamala kasaba birutze hamidois niskadju uravias yavle rachmona lemoisha vi omalisha er the ka ailahu birutzim. Period. Lamandia memata lamata kasaba birutzim is loy niskadju. Vihin yavle rachmona lemoisha vi omalisha er baha the ka nafki birutzim. What does this mean? Okay, if you are making kiddush, for instance, on Friday night, and you have filled up your kois to the top, and in fact the wine goes even above the top, and you have a bunch of guests and you're making kiddush for all of them and you want to pour off wine for all of them, if the wine glasses that you have are smaller than your kos, you will typically find 90% of the time that whilst you're pouring the wine over into their wine glasses, some of it is going to spill on the plate or on the table or on the ground or on your suit, depending on how careful you are or how uncareful you are. On the other hand, if you go and pour from your kois first into a much larger container, a large glass, and then from that large glass you go and then give out to the smaller ones, then you'll notice that usually it falls into the glass. And that's what the Gemara is really telling us over here. If you start off with the smaller container, meaning the small revias haloik, fill it all the way to the top. And typically when you fill things to the top, it'll go over a little bit. Not necessarily go over in terms of falling down to the sides, but it'll go over above the rim. Now take that and now pour it into a larger container. If you're careful, you can get the entire amount, including the top. Of course, you have to do it quickly, you have to do it carefully. And then it'll go into the larger container. And then from that larger container, you go and put it into the next larger container, etc., etc. Masha Enkein, if you're starting off with a large container, and you are like a hin, and you're pouring off into the smaller one, guess what happens? Typically, some of the barutzei midos, some of that over-rim liquid will spill off to the sides and not into the smaller container. And therefore, Says Rabbi Yochanan, the machlok between Rami and Rabbi Yehuda is whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the berutz and midos to have the same kedusha as within the kli shareis, and if so, that's why he said start off with a small one first, so that whatever comes to the over rim is going to all to spill into the other containers, and then it's all going to be part of the kedusha of the kli shareis that are mekadosh the liquid. Masha Einkein, if you're going to start off with the big one and pour it into the small ones, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the reason why I'm giving you the big one, the hin, and not starting off with Revi Saloik, is because I taka don't want the Berutz and Midos to be considered Niskadshu, just like the liquids inside the Kli, and therefore I'm encouraging you to start off with the big one, pour into the smaller ones, and by definition, typically it will spill off to the side and will not go into the smaller midas. So now, with that explanation, let's look at the Lashon HaGemara again. Zok Gemara, Birutz Midas Ikimanai. Lamandia Mimata Lamala. The one that says you start with the Mata. I mean, Rabbi Yehuda, that says you start with the Revias Haloig, and you keep going in ascending order. Because some Birutz Midas Niskachu, that part that's over the rim, is also Kadosh. Or Revias Yavle Rachman Lamoshe Kadosh Baruch Hu, gave to Moshe Beinu the smallest chair that's the Revias Haloig. The Omalei, Sha'er from the Lashon of Shiur. Go and measure with that Revias Haloig, and then pour into the larger container, meaning the next one in line, which is going to be the Chatzi Haloig, and the Ka'ailu Berutzim. As a result of starting off with the smaller one and pouring into the larger one, then typically you're going to go and get the benefit of those Berutzim, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu says those Berutzim are Niskachu, and therefore I want them to be covered and included and incorporated into the larger ship. And as a result, each time when you're going to fill up that smaller shear and then pour it into the next biggest one, each time the shear of the kalim is going to be a little bit larger, because that kli is not just going to go and catch the regular that was within the rim, but even that part that which goes above the rim. L'madiyam imal l'mata, however, the one that starts off with the hin and pours it into the smaller containers, from the hin into the chatziah hin and the shlishis hin, because the berutzim is loynis kachu. The hin you have the rachman of the Moshe Kadosh Baruch Hu especially gave the hin to Moshe Rabbeinu to start off with. The omalei sha'er, now when you are measuring, measure b'ha with this kli to konafki berutzim, because as a result the berutzim are not going to fall into or be poured into the next kli, but nafki, typically they will spill out over the rim of the smaller container in which you are pouring it into, and it'll fall away and it will not be included in the measures. Let's take a quick look at the Rashi down below, who says it much better than I do. If you look at the Rashi, Rashi Ksavyad, fourth, fifth line. Okay, well, let's start the second line. Berutz and midos, right? The Rashi, Berutz and midos, kishemoyde niayin, when you are measuring the wine, umamale kli, biyoiser yesh boy birutzin. Typically, there'll be, mamale kli biyoiser. If you fill up the kli more than the capacity of the kli, yesh bi birutzin, you're going to get that portion on top of the rim. Then biyad ma'arab kli godoil, and if you're going to go and pour from that smaller one into a larger kli, nimtza birutzin besoichai. So then, when you're going to pour, you're not only going to get the contents of the kli, but you're going to get that part which is above the rim, which you're pouring into the larger kli. Dimlav, however, if you're not pouring into a big kli, but you're pouring into a smaller kli, noifal aretz me'alein, then typically it's going to spill off to the side. And for that matter, if you're just going to leave it standing and you're not going to go and pour it over, depending on what the viscosity of the liquid, if for instance, if it's water, it's just going to fall on the side immediately. Wine will remain for a while, and maybe if you don't touch it, it'll remain for a much longer time. But water, it's just going to spill away. So therefore, you're going to go and try to pour it over quickly. That's why Rashi says, "V'miyad ma'arav kli gadol." If you immediately go and pour it over, then you're going to get the berutzim misaychai v'imla. But if you're going to wait around, noifel aris mi'alein, then that over rim amount is eventually just going to spill off to the side and fall away. Says Uktimar, Mimata Lamalavai to the Rashi, the Choshev Revias Barishan, you started off with Revias Barishan, that was Rabbi Yehuda. What happens? Because some Brutzim meet in this Kach, Revias Yehuda Rachman al Moshe Yomalei, Mishtei Eile Asse Chatziloi. Take the Revias Aloig and measure it twice into the chatziloik. And what's going to happen now? That chatziloik is going to be larger than a normal chatziloik because it's going to get the benefit of each ton the berutze amidas. That berutze amidas will add ichvais, an additional 1%, 2%, 3%. Umishtei chatziloik loik. Then afterwards go measure twice from the chatziloik into a loik, each time using the berutze amidas with that additional amount over the rim, v'chein ad him, until you get to the hin. By the time you get to the hin, it's going to be an extra 20% or 25%. You know, keep on adding the berutze amidas one after the other. Sha'er de'ayl hu birutzen. I want you to start off with the smaller one because I want the birutzen to be included. Shehei achatzi loik gadol. I don't want it to be a small chatzi loik. I want it to be a larger chatzi loik. Sheichnesu boi shtei revi'ois hu birutzen. That not only do you get the benefit of the two core loikin, but also that over rim portion, another percent, 2%, whatever it is. The bistama hachihu. That's the way normally things work. That if you start off with a smaller kli and you pour into a larger kli, that's why of course there are some people that have zwei linke hand. No matter what they do, it's always going to spill. That happens to me 90% of the time. That's true. But if you're careful and if you're a little bit, you have a little dexterity and you know how to go and pour things, from the smaller one, it's all going to go into the big one. Start off with the big hin and then make a chatzihin. Normally what happens when you start off with a larger container, you pour into the smaller container. What typically happens is instead of the rim falling into that small clay, it's going to fall away and spill on the side. That was the kavanah of the Kaddish Baruch Hu by saying, start off with a hint that the brutzen should not be included. And that's the reason why, therefore, Rabbi Yehuda starts from a smaller and goes ascending, and Rameyah starts with a bigger and descending. And this has a halachic significance that the berutze midas were niskachu, lay niskachu, as well as the size of the kelim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the kli had to be a little bit bigger. So even though it said on it a chatzi loig, it was a chatzi loig plus the two berutze midas of the two measures of the revias alike, and so on and so forth. They were slightly bigger. Mashenkin Kuntrame, they were all very precise kelim because you didn't include the berutze midas in measuring. That was the teretz of Reb Yochanan. Abaya Omar. We're halfway down the Omar. The Kuli Al Berutze Midas Yikalameim and Iskachu Yikalameim and Iskachu. The Machloek is nothing to do. Yom Berutze Midas Nish Berutze Midas. We're halfway down, yeah? Abaya Omar?
Yeah.
With us? Good. He says, Kuli Al, both of them can hold. In other words, both Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda can hold Berutze Midas. Iskachu, Loi Iskachu. Ba'acham bin Malayim Kamifigli. The Machloek is not about over the rim, but the fill kli. Mandiyom l'mal l'mata kosev malayim shelo yechosev v'shelo yoysir. O mandiyom l'mata l'mala malayim shelo yechosev aval yoysir. Malayim karina bay. What does he want me to say? So again, we're going to see the Rashi in a moment. Rashi is going to go and tell us that when you go and pour from one kli to the other, if you pour quickly, what's going to happen is you're going to create a foam like you have the head of a beer. And that foam can stay on top of the liquid for an extended period of time. Masha Enkin, if you pour it slowly, the shom in Yiddish I shom, of English I foam with the head, avad in Yiddish I shom. Maskim. Anyway, if you're going to go and pour slowly, then what's going to happen is then it won't cause such a shom to form, but rather it'll be like your regular liquids. So let's look at the next Rashi, Malayim Kamifagi, where we left off 5-6 lines into the white lines. From Malayim Kamifagi to Rashi, Dechsev Shneim Malayim Soiles, a pasuk in Parshas Nasai, 12 times. Vuadim Chol Midas Dekrat, Lav Dafka, that one, but all the Midas. Man Dechoshev Hin Bereisha Kosav Malayim Shli Chosvel Shiyos. It should be pinklech, not more, not less. Hilkach Yase Hin Mitzumtzum. You should make a hin exactly. Umimenu Yechavin Shara Midas Lemidas Hin. And from that you should go and make the other Midas according to Midas Hin, another half a hin, a quarter of a hin. The EF shall be Oilam Shlo Yiyu Shtei Midas Ketanois Kishem Moide Doyle Toich Achas Doyla Yuseidus Aleha Mepnei Ho Ufia hagedoyla. When you're going and pouring in two midos into a large mida, you're pouring it into them together, guess what's going to happen? It's going to form that ufya. Ufya means the shom or the foam at the top. Kishma'arin shnei kelim v'toich kli echad. When you're pouring in two kelim, you're putting in the two chatzi loigs, or the two chatzi ahins, to form a hin, then it's going to cause this foam. Aber kishmoidin behin es chatzi ahin, if you're starting off with a big hin, and now you're pouring into the smaller chatzi ahin, shoivich min ahin l'chatzi ahin b'nachas, then you do it idle. The ein kan, and then ein kan ufya. So, what's the svar over here? The svar is, what Rashi is telling us is, what Abai is telling us is, that look at human nature. Human nature is when you're pouring from a smaller kli into a larger kli, since the larger kli is so much larger, then you figure out, let me pour it quickly, what am I wasting my time for? So you go and pour the whole thing in, and guess what? Woo, all of a sudden there's a head. However, if you're pouring from a bigger kli into a smaller kli, you know if you pour it too quickly, it's going to go over. So you pour it more slowly. Oh, by definition, pouring more slowly, it won't form that foam or shom at the top. And that's why we have the machlokes, whether you start off with a bigger kli or you start off with a smaller kli. Gabi, see, you like this. I know you'd like it.
The version of Rashi Ksavya we have is different than what you're reading. There's a lot of small, subtle differences. Sometimes you're reading it, I'm losing you, but I realize you have a different girsa.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
I'm just saying it's a different. Gedola, there's words you're interjecting here that aren't in what we have in this.
Really? I'm surprised. Okay. Good.
First of all,
and maybe I'm just reading it too quickly.
Rashi Ksavya read in the regular Rashi. Interesting, this is where this comes from. Anyway,
this is the real Rashi because Tosfos goes and quotes almost every single Amud. Never quotes the top.
Right.
When it says Bisha Kuntres, he's always referring to the bottom.
What is the Rashi?
This is probably the real Rashi.
The
Rashi
says the
Mizan
has to be right.
Oh, this is right. Yeah, but so let's see. When it says in the pasuk that you have karbonoi karech kesef achas shloishim mei mishkala nizrak echad kesef shivim kesef b'shekel kodesh shneihem meleim soilus. What's shneihem meleim? That's the ka'ara together with the mizrak. They were both filled. See, Mar is explaining what means malayim. Come if you start off with a big one, you're pouring the small one. Because some malayim shlichos v'leishoisa, it's going to be pinkluch, exactly in measure. Why is it going to be exact? Because when you pour from the big one into the small one, you pour slowly benachas. Why? Because you know otherwise everything is going to go over the rim. So therefore you go slowly, and that won't form that shom, and therefore it's just going to be exact to the top malayim. Not more, not less. If you start off with a small one, going into pouring into the bigger one, since you typically pour it in quickly, so then it is going to go to the top and going to form that shom on top, that foam. And therefore, malayim shli choser, make sure it's not going to be missing. The fact that it's going to have that foam on top, and then eventually the foam may go over, etc. That's cool to call malayim, no problem. So that's the machlokes. So now we go on to the next man, the Yomer, in our Mishnah. Now, if you look back in the Mishnah, on the third line of the Mishnah of yesterday, Reb Shimon Oimer loy hoye sham hin, v'chima hoye hin mishamesh. If you look throughout the Torah, it doesn't say anything about that you use the hin on an ongoing or even on a rear basis in the Mishkan or the Beis Hamikdash. You have the chatziah hin yela parish lishasein la'ayil v'yasein la'kevus yoyin avdus alas git. But you don't think about a hin, so you don't need the hin, says Reb Shimon. Ella, therefore, you're going to go and substitute, take out the hin, and rather put in the midah of loig u'mechza, which was used every day to measure the chavitin, because the total amount of the shemen that was used for the chavitin every day by the kohen gadol was 3 loigin. But since you did machtisim b'boikah machtisim b'arab, 1.5 loig in the morning, 1.5 loig in the afternoon, and that's why we had the 7th midah was 1.5 loig. So now that we've learned that back to the gemara, Reb Shimon Oimer loy hayisham hin, there was no hin. So Gemara Shapik come Reb Shimon Rabban. Reb Shimon Lechayr is talking sense. There was taka no hin. If the Rabbanan have a hin, the oven Moshe l'shem and Mishcha. No, there was a hin. historically, once there was a hint, which one was that? The Shemen Zayis hint. Now, what was that Shemen Zayis hint for? That had nothing to do with Karbanais. That was used for the Shemen HaMishcha to be Moishech, the Kalim, and the Kahanim, the Kohen Gadol, etc. So therefore, that was the Shemen Zayis hint. But we only have that one time in history. And therefore, Zokter Reb Shimon, on an ongoing basis, we didn't need it. So what are you bothering manufacturing a hin to use in the Mishkan? We're never going to use that. Mars, it was only used once, and after that they put it away in Sheamus. In other words, it was never used any longer. It doesn't mean necessarily in Sheamus like we think. It maybe was put in a vitrine somewhere. It was put away. They didn't use it in the future. They used it only once historically by Shemen HaMishcha, but fine. But that remained in the Mishkan on the shelf, and theoretically it could have been used, but it wasn't used because there was never a need for it. And then Reb Shimon continues on. Since I'm taking out the hin, v'esmi ovitachtav, which one am I going to bring as a substitute, as a replacement? If you won't have a replacement, so there will only be six midos. What do you have to replace it for? This is on Dafke 7. And furthermore, kid Omer Ravina, just like Ravina says, Gemiri, we have bikabolah in the Soyret, shtei smichos betzibur, that there are only two kabbalas that require smicha by the tzibur. Now, Arashi over here is silent what that means, but the Gemara elsewhere says, the two smichos betzibur means that the par Helem Dover Shel Tzibur, which of course was a very rare carbon. If Roiv of Klal Yisrael sinned on a Dover Sheish by Krisis, where the Bezin HaGadol had made a faulty psak in Yerushalayim, so the Pasuk says, the Samchu Zikni O Eide Es Yedeim Al Roi Shapar. Oh, the Pasuk says, Beferish V'Samchu Zikni O Eide, that Anshei Sanhedrin would put their hands on that Par Helem Dover Shel Tzibur. So that's a case of Smicha. The second case of Smicha is every Yom Kippur, by the Soyer HaMishtaleach, where again the Kohen Gadol would put his hands on and say a vidui. So those are the only two smichas that we find betzibur. Says the Gemara, just like Ravina said, Gemira, we have such a Kabbalah that those are the only two times you find smicha betzibur. By every private carbon you had smicha, except for Karbanis Noshim, but the Karbanis of men always had smicha, by Yochid. Hachanami, so says the Gemara, the same thing as Gemiri, Reb Shimon and the Chachomim and Chazal had as a Kabbalah that the Sheva Midah Shalach, there were seven altogether. Since there were seven altogether, and now if I'm taking away the hin, I have to replace it with something. So I'm replacing it now with the 1.5 mic. The final shita that we had in our Mishnah was Reb Lozor. Was this in the Mishnah or do we have in the Raisa? Okay, Reb Lozor, Reb Tzadik. Oy mishnosis hoyu behin. What mishnosis hoyu behin? That you had only one hin, and this is back before Reb Shimon, on the second and third line of the Mishnah. Reb Lozor, our Mishnah said, Reb Lozor, it should be Reb Lozor, Reb Tzadik. Oy mishnosis hoyu behin, ad kan l'par, ad kan l'ayv, ad kan l'keves. And you saw the picture that we saw in the Rashi yesterday, a rear picture, which is correct, which is accurate. Where you have the
why that? The walls are not straight.
Who says they have to be straight?
No, because the measurements have to be even. Half hin.
Okay, fine. But at least the concept is good, that you have a cleat that has in it the markings.
The last one is
finished. The yard finish. Finishes the anyway, the point is that you have a container that has in it that it has these indentations or markings, what are the markings show? Good. That should also be him. And therefore, Frank Dimar, Leslie Shevamidah, we just say that, oh, Gemiri, Shevamidah, to what Leslie? Hitaka doesn't have this Messiah. Everybody else, the Rabbanan, Reb Meir, Reb Shimon, Reb Yehuda had a Messiah that there were seven separate Midas. He didn't have this in Messiah. And therefore, you can have one Kli that has the Shnosis. The Iboyisayim, Anochabshad, my Sheva Midois, Sheva Medidois. He also agrees that there were seven measures, but not seven measuring containers, but seven measures in one container. Okay, so now we have a big, big Shaila. When it says in the Mishnah, Shnosis Hoyushah, notice that the Mishnah only gives us three of the indentations. Adkan Lepar, Adkan Leayim, Adkan Lekevis. What about the rest? Did it also have altogether seven, like the picture shows, that there were seven markings? Or maybe there were only three markings. There was Par and Ayil and Kevis. What would you say? Do you think there was all seven? In other words, after that, did they have the Loig and the Chatzia Loig and the Revias Loig? Or do you think they stopped when you got to the three Chatzi, Shlishis, Revias, Ahin? Well, what would you say, Brother Shai? Do you have any views on this matter?
I'm going to defer.
You're going to defer.
It's okay. Seven. The Gemara said seven.
So seven. So therefore, you think there was one plea with seven. Yet, would you say that?
No.
Okay, so look at the Rashi Ksavyad. Rashi Ksavyad, before you get to Masnisim.
I'm only on.
You're doing fine. Anyways, if you look at the Rashi Ksavyad, right before Mishnah, about six lines from the bottom, Shev Medirois, Betoich Kli Echad, Tishnosois Hoyu Behin. Right? So, it was only one Kli of the Hin, and on the Hin you had Chatzia Hin, Revias Hin, Mishas Hin, Loik, Chatzia Loik, Revias Loik, all in one Kli. Right? Everybody agrees? Sounds good. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, look at the Tois is Sheva Medidois. Yeah, look at the Sheva Medidois. Zu Tois is Pirish. Letoich Kli Echad, Dishnosis Hoyu Behin. He's quoting Rashi. V'chein Pirish Vasis, that's how Rashi explained yesterday in the Mishnah as well. Veloi Hois Hisham Elohim, it was only one Kli called the Hin. With the seven markings on the side, actually six markings on the side. The kasha, the b'tisef, the tanya, omer bluzer reb tzudai, harer bluzer tzudai, dalid midos shalachoyim b'mikdash. He holds it to a four midos, and therefore masisa namle k'tani shnosois el lapar the ayil the kevis. Says toisis the mishnah taka meant only those three and not the other remaining three, and therefore we have now four kalim altogether, according to Toisus, according to the Tisafta, b'shem Reb Blazer Reb Tzadik. What were the four? One was the hin that had in it the chatzi, the shlishis, and the revias. In addition to that, you had three more. You had the loig, chatzi loig, and the revias loig. So you have four altogether. So come to chayz the machloikis pshat in this last gemara. What it says, my shem midah, shem medidos.
A different carbon, a different kli. Also, maybe
that. It depends on the carbon.
I see. Maybe
you're doing beautifully. If you're bringing up, you see, we didn't have the benefit of your hishtatvus yesterday in the mishnah. Then you made in England. Chas v'shalom. Have any sign of ki choti?
I'm a dachkelent.
Anyway, when you bring the minchas the sochem, means anytime you bring a carbon. Shlomim or carbon oila, you have to go and add to that a mincha sesachim. That mincha sesachim is a mincha together with an esachim, together with wine, and together with shemen. How much did you go and bring? So when it comes to the liquids, chatzia hin yelapar, for the cow you have to have, for the ox you have to have chatzia hin, which is six loigen. Shlish is a hin l'ayil, you have to have four. Revias a hin, and when got the keves, you only had a revias hin, which were three. So therefore, according to our Mishnah Pashim Shat, according to a Meir and a Budalin, there was a separate Chatzihin, a separate Shlishishin, a Reviyasin, and they measured each time. According to Reb Blazer Reb Tzadik, they had one large Kli, and inside the Kli there were markings. If you're doing for the par, it would be half full. If it was for the eye, it would be a third full. And if it was for the kevs, it would be a quarter full. And according to the Rashi, then they had further markings, Loig and Chatzihin. Yeah.
In the Berutze Midos we had by the liquid,
right?
I understand when we had dry measurements and you had a machlokas if Gaddish is Niskadish or not,
mm-hmm.
because you can actually physically separate off the physical solus mm-hmm. that is resting in that clay.
Mm-hmm.
In the case of liquid, you can't separate it. It's one contiguous volume of liquid.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens if you pour, according to the earlier approach, we're saying it was the Berutzim that was the machlokas, mm-hmm. the mayor of Yehuda.
Right.
When you have this liquid.
It's over the rim.
It's over the rim. It's in the surface tension, it's holding it there.
Right.
So you have here a mixture of wine or that's kadosh,
mm-hmm.
and that's not kadosh.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So when you have this mixture here, how do you dispose of it effectively? It's not, you have chulin and kadosh in the same mm-hmm. in the same goof.
Exactly,
it's like
right.
it's like being miskadosh and an animal, except for the leg.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's not a vital organ, but it's, you know, it's, and it's not a majority, but it's you have this mixture here.
So gabi the kadosh, the gabi the solid, as opposed to liquids, we spoke about that yesterday, because yesterday we talked about the midas hayovesh, and there we quoted the Toises here in Chesamid Beis. The Toises says that by godush, everybody agrees that part that is keeping over the kli is niskadish. Mm-hmm. Here, the gabi the brutza midas, we're talking about the liquid, we have a machlokes. And why should there be a difference between the solid and the liquid? Because by the solid, you could go and leave a kli with the heap on top of it for 50 years or 100 years, it's going to stay. And even if you shuckle the table a little bit, nevertheless, it has a holding power. Mashenke, when you're talking about the cost, if it's water, it's not going to even stay more than a half a second, if at all. If you're talking about wine, depending on how thick the wine is, maybe it'll stay a little longer, maybe not. And all you have to do is give it that kleine shakel, and it all falls away. So therefore, according to one man, the Yomar, as long as it's on top of the kli, it's considered to be an extension of the kli. The other man, the Yomar, says, it's going to fall off in the mela anyway, as soon as you touch it, as soon as you look at it, as soon as anybody's going to say, boo, the thing is going to spill. So therefore, it doesn't really have any kedusha, and it's as if it's outside the kli, not inside the kli. Zog the Mishnah. Now we're going to talk about what they used all the kelim for. So the chatziah hin, the shlishis hin, or viyas hin that everybody knows. What about all the other kelim? And now, for the first time, the Mishnah is going to tell us what all of these seven kelim were used for. Revius mahoyis mishameshes. What did you use the revius aloi? We're starting with the smallest one, and we're working our way up. What did you do with the revius aloi? Revius mayim lemetzayra, or revius shemen lenasi. Revius mayim lemetzayra means that when the metzayra, the kohen says, you are now pure, what does he have to do? He has to go and take shtei tziparim, and he has to go and shecht one of the two tziparim over mayim chayim, so that a drop of blood spills into the mayim chayim, and then he takes a tzipor ha-chayah, he puts it b'dam a tzipor ha-shchutza, and he lets it go away, and you have to bring the ezoiv, and telas, shni telas, ezoiv, I'm sorry. And therefore, that's the whole procedure that you do on the day that the kohen says that the metzayir becomes tar. So you bring that revius mayim l'metzayir. So you need a kli. So the story doesn't say the fairish how much you bring. Our Mishnah tells us you bring a revius mayim. Or revius shemen l'nozir. Revius shemen l'nozir, the nozir had two types of chalois. Of the chalois toida, there are four. And by the chalois toida, one of them was chometz, and three of them were matzah. So by the nozir, he also had two, chalois and rekikin, which were both matzah. How much shemen did you use for the two together? Revius shemen, we had this not too long ago in the Gemara. Revius shemen for the nozir. Okay, so therefore the revius had two purposes. One for the mind from the toida, one for the shemen l'nozir. The Gemara is going to talk about this more on the Amid Beis in Yetzir Shem. That's revius. What is the chatzi loig mayim mashamish? What do they use that for? Chatzi loig mayim l'soita. If Chas HaShem was a soita and she had to go and drink from the mayim ma'arim, so the amount that she drank, when you put into it, put a little bit of karka mishkan and you put into the cloth which had on it the words from the Torah, and then they dissolved in the water. Anyway, how much water do you use? A chatzi loig. The chatzi loig shemen l'toida. You talk about bringing a carbon toida, you have the chatzi loig shemen, which was used for the three forms of matzah, and then you split it up between the three forms of matzah, between the revucha and between the chalas and rekikin. There was a revius for one and revius for the other. So the whole thing together with chatzi loy shemen l'toida, the chometz stick of the toida did not have any shemen, only the three minim of matzah had shemen. And what did you use the loig for? In other words, you went through the revius and the chatzi loig. What did you use the loig for? Because every carbon mincha required a minimum of a loig shemen. Even though the typical mincha was only one isar, but if you made up to 60, you could have even more. But the reason why the Mishnah talks about 60 is because once you hit 60, you have the problem of the bila. I ain't bila makevet, but it's got to be royal bila, very, very famous. Good. So I feel the mincha shel samach isar noisin law samach loig. According to the Tanakhama, you go measure out with that one loig 60 times, so you get 60 loig intermixed with the 60 esroinim of mincha. Makes no difference whether you have one isarin, 5 isarin, 20 isarin, 60 isarin, you only mix in one loig. How do I know? Shnei mele mincha v'loig shaman. Couldn't you believe when Yaakov would be a little bit difficult with just one? But remember, they didn't just mix it with shemen, they also mix it with water. So the major batter was a result of the water. And then the question is, you added also shemen to it. So according to the Tanakhama, it's proportionate. Every Yisroel had in it one loik. So if you had 60 Yisroel, you had 60 loikin. According to Blazman Yaakov, no, one loik for the whole geshefta. So now we've covered the revius haloik and the chatzi loik. No, I'm sorry. The revius haloik, yes. The revius haloik, chatzi loik, and the loik. And now we climb to the chatzi ahin, shlishis ahin, revius ahin. But the Mishnah, instead of talking about hin, now talks about loikin. And how many lugin were there in a hin? Every hin had in it 12 lugin. So chatzia hin was 6, shishul apart. A shlishis a hin, or a third of a hin would mean 4, that's erbol ayil. And a quarter of a hin is shlisha lekemes. The Gemara is going to ask tomorrow, why did the Mishnah switch gears instead of talking about chatzia hin, shlishis hin, rabiyas hin, why did it talk about 6, 4, and 3? Mechon we'll see in the Gemara tomorrow. Finally, the Mishnah ends off. Shloishu mechza limenoyre. The menoyre, as you know, had 7 cups. Each cup had in it a chatzi loik. So if you go and multiply 7 times a chatzi, you get 3.5. Shloishu mechza limenoyre. Now, the Gemara doesn't mean to say, the Mishnah doesn't mean to say that there was a measure of 3.5. We didn't have that in the Mishnah. There was no such thing. But rather, how did they measure out the 3.5 lugin for the menorah? Chatzi loig l'chalner, they would go and pour a chatzi loig into every one of the neighbors. Only problem with this is, why when the Mishnah said on line 2, chatzi loig mayer mishamish, it says for the soita and for the shem l'toida, why isn't it all to say the chatzi loig l'chalner? Because every day they lit the menorah in the base meter, so you needed that chatzi loig to measure out the chatzi loig of shemen in the neighbors of menorah. Mitchell, we'll talk about that when we get to the Gemara. Anyway, we start off the end of the Mishnah. Yosef Rebbe v'kokashalei. Rebbe was bothered by. Revius lama nimshecha. Now this question doesn't address directly the Mishnah. This is a little bit off from the Mishnah, but we get immediately back into the Mishnah. Each one of the measures, the midoy salach, were niskachu. The pasuk we more brought it, the pasuk earlier, the imshachim, the yikadish oisam, that all of the midoy salach were klisharis, were all niskachu. The question is, why was it necessary for Moshe Rabbeinu to be moishach the revius? So now we have to understand what was the revius used for. So we said already in the Mishnah two things, for the metzora and for the nos. It's a freaky mark. In Mitzvah, if you're talking about for the purpose of Mitzvah, that's why they were Mekadosh it. Chutzu, the Avodas HaMitzvah was all outside. Now, the Mefarish here all the way on the top is the Chir Zir Shvetz Fashtein, because the top Mefarish says, V'Levechutz Hoyu Kol Masa B'Shar Niknor V'Lebazar. The Shar Niknor that we're talking about, that was a week later. The initial using of the Loig for purposes of the water, the Revius Mayim Lemetzayda, that Mayim was a week earlier. That was right after the Metzayda became King Tohar, then he had that special ceremony.
One for Barry.
Thank you.
We have here, taking out the Kamish. Okay, good. Beginning of Parshas Mitzvah. And then, Vayidam Eshel Moshe Leimer, Zois Tiyya Toides HaMetzvah B'Yom Torasoi. On the day that the Kohen says, Tuhari, what it happens, Vuvel HaKohen, V'yotza Kohen Mechutz L'Menachne, V'roa Kohen V'ni Nirpa Nega Tzeras Min HaTzurah, the Kohen says, Baruch Hashem, the Tzeras finally went away, V'tziva Kohen, V'lokach L'Mitayr, Shtei Tziporim Chayis Toides, it takes two pigeons, two birds, Parshas Mitzvah, yeah. The eight eres ushni toilas v'ezoiv v'tzivah koyin v'shochem s'tzipur echos el kli cheres al mayim chayim. Now, where did this happen? Michutz l'machne. Nothing to do with the shar nikna. S'tzipur chayi kach oisav v'yaseiv eres ushni toilas v'tovol oisam v'ezat tzipur chayi v'dam v'tzipur hashchut al mayim. This mayim chayim. That's what we're talking about in the Mishnah. How much water are we talking about altogether? A revius halayim. How do I know there was a revius halayik? Agamar doesn't go into it, but elsewhere it says that the reason is shehei hadam nikr betoich hamayim. Since you are shechting that dam of the tzipor hashchutza on the mayim chayim, so if you can have tons of water and this little drop of blood, you're not going to notice the blood. It's easily going to dissolve. If you have a smaller amount of water, you put a little then you'll see the reddish tint to it, and you'll have a psashikul blit. These are mitayr against myself, and then we skip. V'hoyah v'yoy mashvi. Skip to pasuk tes. V'hoyah v'yoy mashvi. In other words, now it's 6-7 days later. Yigal l'cheskol tzoris oishves konav yiskapisaynob v'chibes es bigode v'rochas v'mayim. Pasuk yud v'yoy mashmini yikach shnechvasim tmimim chavs achas bashnasim tmimim shloishes roinim v'hemet akoyin mitayr es isha mitayr oisam lefnei Hashem pesach oil moed. What means Pesach Chol Hamoed? That means the Shar Nikana. And then he brings his Karbonos. And then you have to go and put on the Oizen, and you have to put on the Tnuch. You got some Eise, Tnuch Oizen, and the Bahoinos. But that's a week later. That's not at the initial time. I'm sorry?
Nothing to do with water.
Nothing to do with water. That was all Karbonos and Dam that you put in the Bahoinos and you put on there. So L'choyre, it's a bissel shver, the Mefarish here on the top. And if you look at the bottom in the Rashi Ksaviyad, Chutzu mechutz lemachana hayu metarim esametzoyra v'lam lehu lekedushe. So the Gemara's kasha is anything that you're doing inside the Mishkan or the Beis Hamikdash. I very much understand why you want to be mekadesh it, but here this water never even entered into the Beis Hamikdash because it was mechutz lemachana the whole geshef. Like Rashi Mefarish, like Rashi Ksaviyad. Rashi Mefarish is a bit shver because there was no mayim having to do with the Sharnikna. Anyway, so you're going to tell me another reason why they were Makadish that Revius Alig because of the Nazir, Freyti Mara, Lechem Nazir B'Shchitis Ailu the Kaddish. We had already early on in the Sechta a number of times that Saila Gabbe the Karm Toida, Saila Gabbe the Lachme Nazir. What gives the lachman their kedusha? It's the shchita that instills the kedusha. We had machlokes Rabbi Reb Elazar Reb Shimon. Also, you have to have the zrikas adam. But lemaisa, it's not the water itself that gets the kedusha because it's inside the klei sharis. The shemen that we're talking about gets its kedusha at the time of the shchita. So you don't need the kli revius to get kedusha for that purpose. So bottom line is, Freitas of the Gemara, why did the Kodesh Baruch Hu say to Moshe Rabbeinu to mekadesh and be moishech the klisharis of the revius halayk? The chayre did not require kedusha. Omni Rabbi Chis says shebohi moidel lechavi the kain gadol revius shemen lechol chale v'chale. Oh, it had another purpose. What was the other purpose? It was for the revius shemen because the kain gadol every single day had to bring his chavit in, and we said before he has to have 3 loig of shemen altogether. Now, how many chalas did the kohen gadol have to bring as part of his chavitim? Chavitim weren't just pancakes or one large challah. He had altogether 12 chalas. How do I know he had 12 chalas? Gemara said earlier on because it says 12 befeidish but lechem upon him, and we look chok oilam chuka that you have 12 chalas by the chavitim as well. So since the 12 chalos had a 3 loigin, if you divide 12 by 3, in other words 3 on top of 12, 3 over 12 gets you to a fraction called a quarter. Since you get a quarter, therefore you needed a quarter shemen l'chol chala v'chala. As he's baking all of these chalas, each time they would pour a revius shemen into each one of the chalas. And so therefore you needed a revius shemen, a revius alike for that purpose. And you needed to go and be mekadesh. Here there's no carbon that's brought, it's chavitim themselves are the carbon. It's not like the toyidu or the el nozir, that it's pshashchita. It's chavitim on their own. So therefore you had to mekadesh the klisharis of the revius Hashem and Revius Haloik for purposes of the Chavitim. He gave such a good answer. Rebbe was nispoil, and Rebbe said to Rebbe Chia, Kori Alei mi Eretz Merchok ish atosi. Why did he say that? Because Rebbe Chia was originally in Bavel. He was oiled to Eretz Yisrael. He became one of the star disciples of Rebbe. Like Gemara says in other places that Rebbe Chia was Masada the Brises. And the Gemara asks, where do we find this in the Mishnah? I don't know. So Gemara, if we don't have it, Rebbe, the Reb Chiya Minayin, how did Reb Chiya have it in his price if he didn't have a makar in a Mishnah? So we see Reb Chiya was one of the star disciples of Rebbe, and Rebbe's saying about Reb Chiya, oh, Me'eretz Merchok, because you, not because, but the one that came from a distance, from Bavel, Isha Tzasi, Egitach Egitaitze. So now the question is, this is Taka, the main reason why it had to be Neskabish. So why isn't it brought at the beginning of the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, Revius Mahoyis Mishameshes. Revius Ma'ayim L'Metzayr. Metzayr didn't need the water from the Beis HaMikdash because it was Mechut for Machana anyway. Revius Shem L'Nozi didn't need a special Medida from the Revius for that because anyway it was the Shechita that gave the Kedusha. So you should go and mention now the Revius of the Chavitin. Why was that left out? So the Tiferes Yisrael on the Mishnah says that the reason why it was left out is because Rebbe initially had forgotten about that. That's why Rebbe is asking here in the Gemara, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Moshe Rabbeinu be Mekadosh? So apparently, Rebbe had forgotten. Until Rebbe Chia reminded him or told him. He said, oh, good gezacht. But by that time, Rebbe had already taught this Mishnah to his Talmidim, and it was already Shogur B'fihem. Therefore, he left it, and he didn't go and amend the Mishnah. But we have to amend it parenthetically and remember that there was a third purpose of that Revius Haloig, not only for the Metzorah, not only for the Nazir, but every single day for the Chavitin, for the individual Chalas.
Rav Shimon said that we have the logo Mechza for this, yes? So this is not according to Rav Shimon? Rav Shimon,
what was the logo Mechza for? For the sixth Chalas. Also for the Chavitin.
Half in the morning.
Then we have three altogether. Three logos. We split it up. One and a half in the morning, one and a half in the afternoon.
So you get the narrative then. You have the oils poured in from a kli chol into a kli sharis.
In which kli chol?
You bring it from the kohen gadol brings it from his house
in a plastic container. Okay. Or he could have brought it from the gizbar for the
waste. Whatever. Okay.
Right.
Okay. He has to be his own funds.
His own funds. He could buy it from the gizbar.
Right. Okay. So he brings it over. So he pours it in. According to Rav Shimon, he pours it into a logo mechza, and then they pour that onto the.
We had to. Everybody had to go and divide it up. So you could have divided it up by pouring it into chatzi loig and doing it multiple times. Says Rav Shimon, no. They only had to go and split it up once by taking this big loig. You start off with the loig, pour half of it, not with one loig. Start off with three lugin,
right?
Yeah, three lugin. You go and split it up, and you separate one and a half for the morning, one and a half for the afternoon, just like you split up the Yisroinim for purposes of the chalas of the chavitim.
And then, are we pouring it further? So, according to Rav Shimon, there's none of this.
So Rav Shimon can agree. After now that I have my one and a half loigin in the morning,
right.
And we're going to go and bake six chalas in the morning,
right.
We want all the chalas to have the same quality of the amount and volume of the shemen.
Equal volume. Right.
Equal volume. So we're going to split up that one and a half six ways. Now, since you have six halves. If you split it up six ways, it means you're going to have a half for each one.
Right.
So then you're going to have a revi'ish shemen for each chalav b'chalav. Right?
Yeah.
Good.
No, just we're having so
it's six, seven, six quarters.
Right. But just we're having this shemen is being mekadesh in so many times. Being mekadesh, and we had machlokas earlier. Are these mafei tanur, or are they mekadesh in the tanur and mekadesh? I mean, it feels like there's a repetition of being mekadesh these substances again and again, and each one's focusing on a different moment in the process.
The tanur mekadesh, the Gemara only talked about legabe the lechem upon him and legabe the shtei lechem. But lechem upon him and shtei lechem, there the Gemara is saying it's the Tana that's Mekadosh. The reason is because it didn't have to be in a clay sharis. Even though the Gemara said you have to go knead it, you could knead it on a flat surface, like a flat table. So there was no requirement that a daf could go into a clay sharis. Mashenke and the Karb Mincha have to go into a clay sharis, because that was the initial, even before you do the Kemitza. First you put it in the Shemen in, and
so
then
that
infuse it with the Kedusha. So now we're talking about the Shemen, and we're saying that the Shemen got its Kedusha either the first time, according to Rav Shimon, in the three and a half, and in the one and a half, from the one and a half, and then you poured it into the smaller ones. And according to the Rabbanan, you didn't have the earlier one and a half, because there was no such one and a half, but every time you started off and you poured it into the smaller ones, into the Revi'asin, and each one of those Revi'as was used for one particular Chal, and that infused it with the Kiddush.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so now we have the same shayla again. Now again, we said in the Mishnah that we use the chatzi loig for two purposes. The first purpose was to go measure the mayim hamorim for the saita. So lama nimshach, if for the saita, mayim kadoshim ksid. The pasuk says you're supposed to take mayim kadoshim mechlichares, and the Gemara says where did that mayim kadoshim come from? It came from the kior. So once it was in the kiyor, it was already in the skadish. So I don't need now a separate kli to be mekadish it. I have the mayim kadoshim from the kiyor. So what for that they didn't have to go be mekadish the chatzi loig. Elamai itoyde for the lach mitoyde, the lach mitoyde b'shchidas toydu the kachi. So for that also Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have to be moishechit. So I agree with you that it would be good to have such a measure, but it could have been, as you said before, a plastic container. It could have been a kli chol. What did you need to have a kli chol? You don't need it for purpose of the saita, because anyway it was in the skadish from the kiyor. You don't need it for lach mitoyde, because that didn't instill and imbue it with kedusha. The kedusha only came in at the time of the shchita. Like we had at the end of our Mishnah, that the chatziloik had another purpose, and that is to fill up each one of the neirois, and seven times that chatziloik was the 3.5, like we had at the end. And Reb Shimon, Reb Rebbe, who heard this teretz from his son Reb Shimon, was so impressed. Amalai, Ner Yisrael kachoya. Again, he said in a very flattering, complimentary form. Rashi says shekiltsoi shiyoshe shivai. That's why he called him Ner Yisrael. Obviously, it's loshen noifal aloshen. We're talking about neiroi. So he says, oh, you've enlightened us with your pshat about what you needed the chatziloik for each ner v'ner. And now says the teretz Yisrael. That's again the teretz why this wasn't brought at the beginning of the Mishnah. The Mishnah starts off chatziloik mayim mishamish, talks about the soita, it talks about the shem and the toida, and it doesn't mention anything in the gabi the ner until all the way at the end. Because once again, Rebbe had forgotten the need for this chatziloik for purposes of menorah. It could be the thought initially the menorah itself was mekadesh. I don't need to go and put the shemen into a special klisharis to be mekadesh it. And now that his son told him, he says, yo is in kinacht. You're 100% right. Why didn't he bring it at the beginning? Because the Mishnah was already shogun, right?
We forgot.
Why did Rebbe have to come on to the Pri? Why did he have to come on to his son? He also Rebbe Kakashle. And Mushitzach. Lomanimshach. Why did Kodesh Baruch say to Moshe Beinu of Moshe? Good, no problem. Don't do more about it.
He said thing in the Mishnah that wasn't necessary.
What do you mean?
He was saying in the mission, said the Rebbe said, put something in mission that was unnecessary.
Well, why was it unnecessary?
The Rebbe's, for the purpose of the Mitzvah is not necessary.
Correct.
And same for the.
It's not that it's not necessary. The Gemara's Kasha was not about with the necessity. The Gemara's Kasha was Lama Nimshecha. Why couldn't
it was necessary for the. You don't need to make a kaddish at this point.
Exactly. So you could have had a klichol.
It's probably the same question. Why do they have it then?
For instance, for the Revias Shemun Lenozer, we needed a container to go measure out the Shemun. It shouldn't be too much, it shouldn't be too little, and to go and add it to the Soilus for purposes of the Nozer's Chalas. So we needed a container. That's not the question. The question is, why was Moshe Rabbeinu Moshech them to go and instill them with a Kedusha of the Klisharis? Why couldn't they use that plastic container? Presumably, there were other things that in the base of leadership didn't have Kedusha. So the question is, why was this Niskalish with Mashiach? Says, well, I'll tell you why. In the first case, we needed it for each one of the Chalais. You needed a Revias. And here we're talking about for the minority. You needed it for each one of the Nair.
This was bothering us. Why did many think of it?
That's many discussion.
Yeah. So you're saying once it was Niskalish, we already used it for the other purposes, but it didn't need to be Niskalish.
Exactly, yeah. Once you had Klisha, you could use it for something else too. Okay. We still have to use it for the Nazir, etc. But it didn't need that Mashiach for that purpose. Okay, have a wonderful day. From here, Abba Yosef, the next few days, we're going to talk a lot about the Menorah. So, today we're going to focus on the Menorah now. I'm sorry? In Yad Yom, exactly. It's pre-Hanukkah. Zayigit. 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 Ner shekovsa nidashin hashemen nidashin hapsila. As you know, you're supposed to go and pour in shemen, the chatzi loig in every one of them, so that it should be enough to go and light me erev at boiker until the morning. So in the morning, the Kohen Gadol comes into the Beis Hamikdash, he looks at the menorah, and he should see that six of them are flickering, and they're about to be extinguished. And the seventh one always remained longer, as we said yesterday in the Gemara Mitzvah, Reb Shimon HaTzadik's times, that for 40 years, in fact, it went all the way until nightfall, that it never went out, and Kohen Gadol had to go and blow it out, and then relight it once again. Okay, but here we're talking about a situation where in the middle of the night, the Kohen Gadol is about to, let's say, close the doors of the Beis Hamikdash, or the Gizbarim, whoever is in charge, they're about to close the doors, and guess what they noticed? Ner Shekovsa. Uh-oh! One of the Neiris on the Menorah went out. Just like it happens in our Hanukkah Menorahs, and sometimes even the women, when they light candles Friday night, sometimes one of the candles goes out. What do you do now? Zog to Yochanan Rebbe, the Dashin Hashem and the Dash to Psila. What you have to do is you have to take out the remaining Shemen and the remaining Psila, and you have to use them like Deshen. Deshen, of course, literally means ash. We don't mean literally ash. What we mean is that they are now no longer fit for using in the menorah, and therefore we clean them out, and we're going to put it there in the geniza that's in the Beis Hadeshen, which is next to the kevish, where you always put the mura benoitz, and you put the trumas hadeshen, you put the remaining psilois and shemen from the menorah. Okay, but what happens at this point? Now you got to go and start from scratch. Ketan oisa, meitiva, you go and pretty up that ner, menoisim bar shemen, and you put shemen in, and you madlik it for the rest of the night. And the shayla is, how much shemen do you pour in? Yosef Rebbe Zriko, on the side, says, Reb Zeira, become a boile, kishu noisim bar shemen, kibir yishayna, in other words, the full chatzi loig, as if it's, you know, he's lighting it for the first time, or whatever is still missing. In other words, if already burned half a night, you don't need any more achatziloi. You only put in revias aloi, etc. On Rabbi Yirmiyah Pshita, the community shayna. Avad, you have to go and put in the full amount, like you always do, till the top, the achatziloi. How do I know? The kama shechosra mino yadina maichise. How do you know how much is missing? After all, you know that it's missing because half of the night, a quarter of the night, a third of the night, an hour, 3 hours, 6 hours, part of the night it went, but the rest of the night it didn't go, so you don't know exactly. You try to estimate, you try to assess it, you figure, well, after all, we lit it at 6 o'clock, and it's going to go at 6 o'clock in the morning, and now it's 12 o'clock, it's half an hour, nofish lehu midas tuva. What are you telling in the Mishnah that only sheva midas? Nofish lehu, you'd have to have many more midas, because each time you're going to go and fill it up, exactly the amount that it's still remaining for the rest of the night. So if assuming that the average night is 12 hours, let's say if it burned for 5 hours, so then you're going to have 5 twelfths of a loig to go and put in. You can't put in a chatzil loig because after all, it already burned 5 hours. So you have to have another 7 hours, 7 twelfths, 3 twelfths. Well, 3 twelfths is a quarter of a loig we have. Anyway, so the point is, Frank Timara, Novish will need his tuva. So Timara, Kari Alei, so when he heard this, he told him, oh, you came to the emes. That's taka the reason. Your answer is an emistic reason that an emistic answer that you should go and fill it up kemida rishoina and not kemoshe chosra. Otherwise, we taka have to have midas tuva each time to measure the 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, 8 hours, 9 hours, etc.
This
is not the tzedek. Three flattering comments.
Yeah, it's unusual.
Yeah, it's taka unusual. Baruch Hashem.
So they disposed of all the old oil and just filled it anew with fresh oil?
Exactly.
Or they didn't just top it off?
No, that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
Tadashin, you take it all out, you go and put it where all of the remaining oil and remaining wicks of every single day, and that was always with Beis Hadeshen, and you fill it up brand new as if it was in the beginning of the lighting in the evening. In the middle of the night, go and take out the remnants and clean it out. So he says, Befedish, like we just said, Kemida Rishayna. Good. The Ner of the Beis Hamikdash was literally, the Gemara means it was in parts. But that cannot be. How do I know? Because Kosovo Kiksiv Kikar Umiksha Amanoida Beneiro Silksiv. Ah, Kim the Boy Hatovi Lam the Brokimaba, we have a Metaivale. What's going on? So we're going to see the Rashi Ksaviyat in a moment, who says very beautifully that although the Gemara says Shel Prokim, Prok means it was made out of parts. So you can think to your mind like a Lego. You go and put one part in the other part. But that's a big, big problem. Because it says in the Pasuk, Kikar Umiksha, and Rashi says a number of times in the Parsha of the Menorah that was all one piece. You couldn't go and solder together multiple pieces. The person who sculpted the Menorah had to go and sculpt it out all out of one. And it was so difficult, Rashi says, Kadosh Baruch Hu had to send the Menorah down Min HaShemayim. But it will have to be one piece. What are you telling me? Shoprock it. So the word Shoprock. I'm sorry?
They were able to do that in the base of the
Mikdash. Okay, so you don't have to be too nervous because both Rashi and Rashi Ksaviyah both address this issue and both of them say the same tarot. That it was not really made out of pieces, rather that the top neiros, when we talk about the neiros, we mean the seven cups on top, that the stems of those neiros, the konim, you were able to bend them down to be able to clean them out, and they were able to bend them back up again. In other words, they were made out of a flexible material so that you could go and bend them up and bend them down each time you wanted to clean them on a daily basis. And that's what he means, shel prokim. So let's look at the Rashi Ksaviyat down below. who explains it better than I. Ner shel migdosh shel prakim. Okay, so shel prakim, this is about 7-8 lines from the top of the Rashi Ksaviad, towards the beginning of the line, shel prakim. Shel chulios, chulios means links or pieces. But lo shel chulios mamish. Sheyuchal leparkan osalkim and hamayit. No such thing that you can actually remove them from the night. Sheyuchal lekoifef for lemata. You're able to go and bend them over towards downwards. Ulezoik from the koyim, and then afterwards you can go and reset them and straighten them out again, erect. Ubalaz, they call this flighty. Sovar kikor umiksha, the mashma mechaticha achas yasa hakoil. Since we're insisting that it wasn't chulyos mamish, but rather that they were flexible and bendable, is a simon when the Torah says kikor umiksha, amanoy v'neirisa haneiris hemuchubarimba me oisa chaticha atzma, that the neiris were in fact totally attached from one kikor, from one shtick. Then yochel asalke mishasadav, you cannot remove them. Ligroif is addition to go and remove the ash. Since you cannot remove them and detach them, it must be that you are at least able to go and bend them over. When you're able to bend them over, then you can get every remnant, every last speck of ash out without any difficulty. And as we'll see more in a moment, that this is in fact a major machlokes. Because the second man yom is going to say that when it says in the pasuk, miksha achas, is referring to everything other than the seven cups at the very, very top. And those seven cups, according to the next man yom, were detachable after all, even though it says kikar miksha, because that's referring to the base of the menorah with all of the intricate ornamental designs on the menorah, but the actual cups themselves were a separate entity which were removable. So again, back to the Gemara. Zok the Gemara in my name, Yom Rabba. No, we said it right. Nochamu Amar Avunu Bered Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav Sheshen Neshem Milishol Parakim Hava. It was made out, not apart, but they were bendable and flexible at the top. Kasavre Kiksiv Kikro Miksha Amanoy Rav Neirusel Kiksiv. The Neirus are also part and parcel of the structure of the Menorah and one piece with the Menorah. And keep the Voya Hatova, since you have to clean them out every day. Ilav the Parakim Hava, if they were not bendable, like we just said, then you wouldn't be able to clean them out. How do you do it? Misalkon, you remove the neiros from the top, similar to those that have silver menorahs. In the silver menorahs, you usually go and put in plastic or glass cups to be able to go and pour in the oil. So then you misalkon, you remove those glass or plastic cups. Umenicham oil, and you put them down in the azor in the base of midrash. Umekancham besvoig, and then somebody comes and he takes a sponge and he rinses them out well and he washes them out well. Benoisim b'shemen, you put the shemen in madlikon, and then you pour avada, you put it back on top of the menorah. So this mandiyama holds that Yutaka were able to remove the cups on top. And you're telling me the previous mandiyama said you cannot remove it because it was part and parcel of the Menorah. Everyone is a machlokes. Who the yama kaitani? He learns like the other time, the sign is shaking the brisa. The chom moimim, loy hoye meziz and oisim and koima. They did not move the neiros from their place. They left the neiros inside their place. So it sounds like that they didn't remove it because it was not removable. So Tamar Machlal, the Iboyele Lazuza. It sounds like the Iboyele Lazuza Matsimazinla. So Tamar is asking Akasha. Tamar is saying, you're telling me there's a raya from this Braisa. They didn't move it from its place. Is the Chassimin that it was one Miksha Achas? And that's why the Rav Huna Bered Rav Yehuda Rav Sheshe said that it was all one Miksha and it was just flexible and bendable. We just said in the Braisa that you were able to go be misalkan and put it on the table and remove it and wash it with a sponge and all the rest, because that mandiyama holds like this braisa le'emiziz ha'mekayim. You could not remove it; it remained attached to the menorah. So you could only bend it. Fakti mara, bechlal di boy le'lazuz emotzi mazilah punkt fakert. From this braisa is mashma that if you wanted to remove it, you could remove it. Le'hoyim eziz ha'noisa means they didn't on a factual matter. Factual basis, de facto, they didn't remove it. But they could have removed it. So, go and change the Lashon HaBaisa. Not Lehoya Mezizin. Lehoya, you could not remove it because the Neiris were attached as Miksha Achas with the rest of the Menorah. Who are these Chachom that you're quoting? Reb Lozi. Sign of Lozi, Betzodik Oimer. Kimintas shel zov hayilo al gabo kishu meiti b'toichei klapei pia kishu noisin ba shemen b'toichei klapei roisha. So the Gemara tells the Kodesh Blazer of Tzadok that on the top of these seven Neirois, you had a tas like a long, thin piece of gold, and this was a cover over the seven Neirois, and what you could do is you could pick it up and you could put it down. Again, some of the older menorahs that you have, and not only are they silver menorahs, but on the top they have little caps to them, and you can go and put the psilim through the caps from the menorah itself through that hole in the cover. Anyway, so what the Blazer of Tzadok says is that we have a cover for all the seven. It was one long tas, and kishu meitiva, if you wanted to go and pick that tas up, what you do is doicha klapi pia, you give it a shtip towards the front of it. Kishu noise b'shem, when you want to go and pour the shem, and doicha klapi roisha, then you go and give a shtip from the other side. In other words, you have to tilt this tas. It sounds like the tas is attached with some sort of hinge or whatever. So to open it up, sometimes you push it from the bottom, sometimes you press it from the top to open it up, either for purposes of cleaning or for purposes of pouring in the new shemen. And in fact, this is a big machloikis. The sign you will learn in the braisa. The menorah together with the seven cups on top, that was all part of one kikar. However, the eng malkocheo machtesea mena kikar. The malkochaim, which was like the tweezers, and machtois are like the fire pans, and those were like
shovels.
The shovels that they used to go and put the deshen from the psilois and the remnant oil. They would, Malkachayim would remove it like with tweezers, and then you'd put it into the machtois. So that's what the Tanakhama says. Reb Nechemi Oimer, Menoyer hoise bo min akikar, v'loy neroisel, u'malkachel, u'machtoisel, bois min akikar. So you see the machlokim between the Tanakhama. Reb Nechemi is, what about the seven neiros on top? According to the Tanakhama, the Menoyer and the neiros are all part of the kikar. These were separate, just like the Malkachayim and the Machtois. The Maikamifagi, where does the Machloikis come from? Baikras is the Pasi Sanya. Kikar, Zov, Tor, Yasa, we saw. And the Pasi continues on. Eis kala kelim or elim. So kikar zov to yasa oisa malat malamanush na menorah shebo mena kikar. Says kikar zov. I got to kikar. Menal the rabbi's neiros. How do you know the neiros are also from the same kikar? Tam ulaymer eis kala kelim or elim. That's part of the kelim of the menorah. Yochash v'imar ba'av malkechem atchaseh. That those are also part of the kelim of the menorah. Tam ulaymer oisa. That's why it says kikar zov tachor yasa oisa. Oisa means the menorah. Eis kol kelim ha'ela includes all to the neiros, but oisa says menorah and neiros. Yeah, but not the malkachayim and not the machtois. Tibrim nechemia. Azoy lent Reb Nechemia. Ah, this is Reb Nechemia. So Reb Nechemia is saying is that the neiros were part. If you go five lines earlier, it says Reb Nechemia oime menorah hoisa ba menakikar v'loy neiros se umalkachel machtois. The same Reb Nechemia said the neiros were not part of the kikar. So chasir Reb Nechemia and Reb Nechemia. And for the Gemara, Kashi Reb Nechemia, try to tell you Reb Nechemia is a machloket between the Tamid Reb Nechemia. What did Reb Nechemia really hold? But what holds? What's the second madiyam? Reb Shimon Karcha oime menorah ba menakikar ve'ein malkachel umachtois se v'neiros se. It's out of order to say neiros. These were not made out of the kikar, bone and a kikar. It says at the end of the pasuk, kikar zov tor yasa is kol kelim eila. Shu kelim shel zov. The pasuk is not telling you on the kikar, but the zov tor yasa oisa is kol kelim eila. So even the neiros and the malkachayim and the machlis are also made out of gold. I don't need the pasuk for that. Zobegik sibai. Vasisa neiruseh shiva. The hell is neiruseh. The hell evu panel. Umalkacheo machtiseh. Zohav tohar. Ushtetak mafeiru zohav tohar. I don't need the eis kol akeil meila. Vainitzucha ella pineiros. Pineiros means where you had the wicks extending from the nair, that was also made out of gold. What's the shayla? So could that come in a hoil pineiros ashchuri mishcher? After all, where the wick is standing, that's going to get black as a result of the fire on a daily basis. And I would say, and we'll have it zohav kolduhu, instead of making a zohav tahar, twice 18 carat gold, make it only 12 carat gold, or whatever the appropriate carat of gold would be. In other words, nishta, the shenst and the best of gold, it'd be a little bit inferior gold. So I would have thought, kamash malon, that's why it says, not just zohav tahar, it says it twice, kikar zohav tahar, yasa oisa, to tell you it's got to be the purest gold. Anyway, bottom line is, somebody stops you in the street and asks you, how do they clean out the menorah every day? And the answer is, it depends. If you hold that the nadirs on top were not detachable, but they were one attachment, part of the original kikar, then how would you go and clean it up? You have to go and bend it over, and then take your Q-tip or your swag or whatever and clean it out, and then you would bend it back into shape like normal. However, if you hold like the other man, the other that holds that the nadirs were detachable, you could remove them. You detach them, you put on the table, you wipe them out, and you put them back in. What's the base of the machloikis? Were they detachable or not? When you learn the pasuk, eis kol kelim ela, and it said kikar zav, does the kikar include as part of that one shtick kikar all to the nadirs? Or was it only the menorah and the nadirs were in fact an additional gold, just like the Malka Chaim and the Machtois? Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Isa.